This is a recording of our meeting with David. Okay. All right. So now let's go back to this concept. What we spoke about before. There's Buddhism and Judaism.
Right.
Okay. So Buddhism is about leaving this world and finding enlightenment. Right. If you come back, it's because you're coming back because of to enlighten other people.
Right. What is that
for? Right. Judaism, that we explained it. When God first created the world, He had His omnipresence throughout the world, correct? Then you can speak, don't feel like embarrassed at all. Then, He was mitzamtzem Himself. What mitzamtzem means? He restrained Himself.
God.
Yeah. Like when I told you, speaking about God, we're speaking in terms of our understanding of His will.
Right.
Not His will intrinsically, because
that we can never understand.
So God was mitzamtzem Himself, and He removed Himself, so to speak, equally distant from the world. And He only, kivyachol, existed in His fullness outside what they call enlightenment.
When you say He removed Himself from this world, what do you
mean? The world was full of His presence.
The world before
He created it.
Before the Big Bang, so to speak.
Yeah, it was full of His presence.
Okay.
And He removed Himself from the world when He decided He wanted to create a world. Why He wanted to create a world? You want to go into that?
Because of the chesed He wanted to give.
He wanted to. So that's one reason. There's lots of reasons. Three basic reasons that the Ramchal says. And they're all related. So the first reason is He wanted to fully express Himself. Because you can't be considered merciful if there's no one to be merciful to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be considered good if there's no one to be good to. Right?
Yeah.
In other words, an attribute is only a potential.
Right.
If it's as a potential, it's missing, it's incomplete as an attribute.
Right.
It only becomes complete when it's expressed.
Okay.
You understand?
Uh-huh.
So He needed to create a world in order that His attributes would be fully expressed and therefore would be complete. That's one reason.
Okay.
The Ramchal says, Lifnim mizeh, a deep, all these reasons, this reason I'm telling you is written in Sfarim. It's written in Sfarim, I don't tell you why. The Lifnim mizeh, the Ramchal says, is lehitiv, to do good. God created the world lehitiv, to do good lebruyav, to His creations. Because God represents ultimate goodness. He defines goodness. You understand, like, the inner level of creation of the world is to create creations in order for Him to do good to them. Because you can't be good unless you have a creator you can be good to. That you understand how it's related to the previous one. That means His ultimate purpose for being complete in His names, complete in His expression, behind that is because He wants to be express His goodness to the creation.
Right. And He can only do that, step two, He can only do that if there's something there.
If there's a creation.
Uh-huh.
The inner reason, and this is harder for us to understand, is legalot yichudo, to reveal His oneness. That, yeah, I'll explain soon. So now, He separated us from the world equally, and He left what's called the Rishima, a presence, a light presence of Himself. Then, in order for Him, this is the center that He would separate Himself from, in order for Him to be involved in the world, right, to be more, how you say, more, to have His presence more clear in the world, He brought down a kav, a line, into the world. This is called a kav. The Kabbalists speak about this. Now, if you understand a little bit better, the words for that, this actually, I don't want to say this. A relationship is a male-female relationship, right? Male means makab, female means makabal, being
a vessel
to accept. Male means express. That's the concept.
Right.
Okay. God, when he connected into the world, was to express. That's what he said, right? Express himself. That's male. The world that he created, right, that would be mekabel his expression, is therefore female.
Right.
The relation God to the world is therefore male-female relationship.
Right.
Conceptually.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. So the highest level in creation is what? The highest purpose is obviously what? The purpose of the world is that God, remember, he wanted to do what? The final thing was Ligalot Yichudo, to reveal his oneness in the world.
Yeah.
The purpose, this is far explained, it's brought down in Sfarim Kedoshim, tell you right. But the purpose is to bring, yeah? No, not today.
No?
No, no, I'm sorry, sorry, not today.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
Is
he getting your booster? Huh? No. No, no, I was ill this morning, so I didn't go to the Kano. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm sorry about that.
No,
thank you. The purpose of this world is for God to bring his oneness, his unity into the world. So the purpose, now, this is the creation of man. I didn't explain this. When he brought this in, so he created the spiritual worlds. These are all spiritual worlds. The earth is here. Not the earth, the cosmos. The whole of the cosmos is this little dot over here.
Okay.
This is all spiritual worlds. All this mass is spiritual worlds. This is what we see as our cosmos is this little dot over here.
Okay?
The purpose of the world is for us, man in the world, is to create, is to bring this line down, right? And therefore to fill this world automatically with his radiance. It'll automatically fill with his radiance. We'll go back to where we were. Now this is a hard thing to understand. It's harder than you think. There's a lot of contradictions to what I'm saying here. So I'm not going to go into this because
okay.
it's a hard thing. But I want you to understand the concept.
Okay.
So what's the concept? The concept is it's the opposite of Buddhism. Buddhism is to leave this world to enlightenment. Judaism is about bringing God's presence into the world fully, to make this world the world of enlightenment, to make this world the world of goodness. We're not about removing ourselves to the world. From a Jewish point of view, going here means dying. It means living with death. The Egyptians believed in death, or going back to death. Probably, there's a relationship. I don't know, I don't know much history, but probably there's a relationship. They say, look, I don't know these things so well, but they say that when Avram Avinu got remarried, he married Keturah, which means essence, incense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had children. Apart from Yitzchak, he had children from Keturah.
Mm-hmm.
So Machlokes who Keturah was, if she was another woman, or if she was Hagar. And she was called Keturah because she kept herself. She was, kept herself for Avraham. Whatever the reason is. Rashi, I'm telling you, Chumash Rashi. Then it says in Chumash that Avraham Avinu sent his children away, Kedma, to the east. These Bnei Keturah, eastwards.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave them presents. What presents did he give them? Rashi, this is Rashi, Chumash Rashi. He gave them Shemot Hatuma, the names of impurity. What does that mean? In Judaism, the way we connect with God, this is the Arizal, right? This is Kabbalah, but not, this is not Kabbalah what I'm telling you, but it's based on Kabbalah.
Okay.
Is the way we connect is through God's names. We bring this line in towards us through mentioning God's names and connecting with what his presence is at the time that we mention his names. It represents his expression. His name represents his expression. Just like your name expresses who you are, God's name expresses who he is at that moment of that influence that's happening. So there's certain mitzvahs we do have certain expressions in names. Are davening. This is not for us, but I'm just explaining the concept.
Mm.
Okay. In Buddhism also, they have names. They give. There's different types of Buddhism. You give a name, a person has a name, and they meditate on that name. That I wouldn't do. But you should do that. I don't know what those names are. If you can do meditation...
We're meditating on a person's name?
No, no, no. I don't know too much about Buddhism, but the little I know is there's two types. There's meditation on your breath,
right.
On your, you know, all different types of meditation. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's meditation where they give you a name. This is your name. And you meditate on that name that they give you. That I wouldn't do. I don't know too much about it, but I would do based on this Chumash Rashi.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Now, Judaism believes in life. You can understand now why marriage is such an important part of Judaism, and why that's the holiest part of why marriage is called Kiddushin holiness, and why in Buddhism marriage is not an important part of life. You don't have that concept.
So you've talked about the masculine and the feminine here, but specifically on this earth with related to man and woman.
This is the concept. The relationship of God and the world is the relationship of man to a woman. The relationship of God to the Jewish people in the world is also a relationship of man to a woman. Shir HaShirim is a love song of the Jewish people to God. Right? Mm-hmm. And God to the Jewish people. It's a love song. It's a relationship.
Right. And we're told when we pray to pray to God as if it's our most dear.
Yeah. Atah, Baruch Atah, blessed are you. It's a relationship. When we learn, it's a relationship. Learning is not an intellectual pursuit. It's a relationship. If you ever hear the rabbis here, right, learning, they don't learn quietly. It's not a lecture.
Right.
They get involved. They get involved.
Uh-huh.
It's an emotional thing. It's not emotions that it's you freak out emotionally. Not looking at that. It's controlled emotions. But it's emotional. You're involved in it. It's important to you. Understand what I'm telling you? That's basically lives in Judaism and Buddhism on one leg. You understand the difference? And now you understand the importance of marriage in Judaism?
Can you talk more about
marriage?
Yeah, I mean, I hear in you giving an example of the relationship between God and the world is like man and woman.
Okay, that's what
I'm saying. Specifically about marriage and how.
Okay,
fine. And about the nefesh and the ruach and the neshama and how. The two, I've heard it spoken that the, you know, when you get married, the two neshamas become one.
No, not become one. It says in the Chumash. First of all, it says in the Chumash. It says that. Okay, let's start. I don't know where to start. I will tell you something like in these things. People who speak about nefesh, ruach, and neshama, and all these things, the five levels of the soul, you know, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida, there's five levels. In Buddhism, they also have these five levels. I don't know where they got it from, but they also call the final one, they call unity. We call yechida, is also unity. They also say, they think that you can get unity in this world. You can reach it. We don't believe you can get it in this world. Maybe that's why they have to leave this world to get ultimate enlightenment, which is unity. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know. There is concepts in Judaism which are similar to Buddhism, which I don't know, but it's different. For example, you can be on this line. Where is man in this picture? We're not here. We're here, right? Man is here. There's two things. You can go down this line, down and bring God into the world. Or if you want, you are allowed to go up. That's similar to Buddhism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going up, you do go up when you pray. You go up in order to bring down, but you don't go all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing you do. It's called Yichudim. You know what Yichudim is? It means oneness. When you're Mishtasheya, when you enjoy feeling the oneness of your Creator. This is a practice of very, very big rabbis. We don't practice this anymore because it's dangerous. I'll tell you a simple story of a very, very famous rabbi who did this Yichudim. I'm talking about centuries ago. Probably from then it stopped. And he told his shamish to wake him up when he was doing this. The shamish forgot.
What's the shamish?
The person who was, you know, who's like the person looking after him forgot to wake him up. The rabbi died. He reached here. You understand? So we don't do those things.
Through prayer?
No, through, it's a different, it's like mentioning God's name, certain aspects of God's presence,
okay,
and becoming one with your Creator. Your soul, in a certain sense, leaves you, and it's mishtashe, it's a beautiful feeling, right? If you have a very good davening, it's also a form of going up.
Right. purpose is to connect with God so you can bring God back into
the purpose of prayer is to connect with God on a higher level and then come down. Like if all our davening is to go up and down. At the beginning of prayer is just it's like a ladder going up. The pinnacle is Shemona Esrei, and then after Shemona Esrei, there's a little high by Tachanun, and then you go down. The different worlds, different spiritual worlds we go through. You'll see in our davening, the prayers, you see, it's not for now, but that's all our prayers are that way. And when we're at the highest point, that highest point creates what's called a zivug, a connection of the highest levels. They become one, and they mashpi on us. They give us a holy influence. That's prayer. That could be with any mitzvah can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Any mitzvah, any the first mitzvah in the Torah. Let's explain this a bit better. The first mitzvah in the Torah is fruitful, to be fruitful and multiply. What does it mean that mitzvah? What does that mean to be fruitful and multiply? Physically, it means take man's essence, right? And in creative giving way, you give it to the woman, the wife, right? And she expresses that as a child. That's the first mitzvah of the Torah. The Kabbalists say that all the mitzvahs of the Torah are basically that mitzvah. That means all mitzvahs, if you take them down in terms of you abstract the concept, a mitzvah means for man to give of his essence in a creative, good way to other people,
mm-hmm.
and that they will be expressed. All the mitzvahs of the Torah are that. That's it. All our mitzvahs, according to the Kabbalists, will have this concept of pruvu, which is the zivug, which is a, right? But it's on a spiritual level, the physical level. But if you understand that well, you understand that the highlight of a human being in terms of he's made of a spiritual and a physical dimension. When that physical and spiritual dimension come together with another person, that means he's connecting on a physical and a spiritual level to another person who is physical and on a spiritual level. And that unity...
And with the lev in the middle. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And with that unity, right... He brings unity to the world. And if you understand on a deeper level, Chazal tell us that the man and woman, wife, soul are one soul. When they connect, it's a connection of one soul, not of one body. It's two separate bodies. One soul and two bodies. The body becomes one, and then the soul becomes one.
And so there's the concept of reincarnation and...
If you do it, reincarnation is a great thing. It's called Gilgulim. It means you mid Galgal, you roll back into this world. If you go up to Shemayim and there's a process.
Shemayim, the heavens.
Heavens, right? When the person dies, he goes to heaven, right? Whatever heavens you know, like, you know, I don't know, not the clouds or anything. He goes to where these spiritual worlds. There's different levels of spiritual world. And you have to be cleaned up, you got dirtied. So there's a process of cleaning it, being cleaned up. So if there's only a little bit of cleaning up to be done, so you go through a process of, you know, if you, you know, certain stains you need acid, certain stains you need just, you know, brush them off. So it depends on the type of stain the person created for himself in his life. He goes to a process of what's called Gehinnom. Gehinnom means, in English it's translated as hell. It's a bad translation.
Okay.
It's a bad translation.
Okay.
Right?
But meaning he comes back to this world?
No. If he's lucky, I'm telling you, he goes through a process of cleansing, which is Gehinnom, which what they translate as hell, which is a bad translation.
Okay.
It's a cleansing process.
Okay.
And then he gets put in the worlds of souls in the place that he should be based on how clean that soul is. If you imagine diamonds, you sort out diamonds, these are big, beautiful diamonds over here. This is the next row of diamonds. So his soul, based on the level that he perfected it, based on who he is, right? Remember what we said?
Right.
Each person, if he does his full potential, he'd be a big diamond. So he has placed and given what he did in that and wait for the reincarnation, which is Yimot HaMashiach, which we all desire shall happen soon.
Which is when the Mashiach comes.
After Mashiach comes.
And then all the souls will come back down on earth.
The Mashiach, the purpose of Mashiach is to bring, as a normal human being, is to bring the world to recognition of God. And when he brings the rest of the world to recognition of God, then God will take the world to its end, which is the reincarnation of man in his physical soul, physical goof. Okay? Mashiach is not God. Mashiach is a human being. Mashiach means anointed. He's the king of Israel. David HaMelech was Mashiach. Shlomo HaMelech was Mashiach. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was Mashiach. Understand?
Uh-huh.
It's a regular human being. And therefore he exists in every generation.
But so, you said that when man and woman come together, that their souls become one?
They're one beforehand. They're just separate oneness. A man and a woman are one soul that was separated into two bodies. When they come together, there's a unity of that one soul.
You mean from birth?
From birth, yeah.
Men and women are both a half a soul.
So the Gemara says in the Sota, Bat Kol Yotzeh, a Bat Kol goes out, Bat Ploni Leploni, it's your one soul. When you were created, your wife might be created after you, was created as well. You have your wife, she's here.
Wow, that's a beautiful concept.
Yeah, and when you connect with your wife, you connect to your one soul.
And then
every other connection is a disconnection. It might be connection to your physical part, but not a connection to your spiritual part.
And so when you both die, then
you become. Gemara. Where do we learn the law of kiddushin from? Do you combine? You do kiddushin with money. You give her a ring. Where do you learn this from? Where does it learn from? It's from Kicha Kicha Misnei Ephron. It's a Gemara. Gemara says it's Gzeir Shava. What's Gzeir Shava? Torah says here Kicha. Torah says by Avram Avinu, he bought a burial place for his wife Sarah. It says Kicha. So from the burial of Sarah, the burial of Avram's wife, we learn marriage. Crazy, isn't it?
On the Temple Mount.
Not the Temple Mount. Doesn't do the Temple Mount. Okay. You learn marriage from. Just as Avraham Avinu bought a burial place for his wife Sarah, so we too, right? What do? We ourselves, what do?
For marriage, we buy a ring.
We learn that from Avraham. Just as Avraham bought with money a burial ground, so we can buy a woman with money for marriage. Crazy idea, right? Let me tell you another Gemara. Gemara says that what are Avraham Avinu doing there in the Maral Machpelah? So it says that. They're cuddling. Down there, the Maral Machpelah are cuddling. It's not very tzadur, that's not
They're cuddling.
It's Hebron, they're cuddling each other there.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's two grandfathers, but he was 127 years and he was 140. Right?
Uh-huh.
Something years. Cuddling. These two old people. What's going on trying to say? So I explain to you. If you understand this concept that it's one soul in two bodies, when you die, what happens? Your soul gets parted from your body. Then what happens to the two half souls?
Well, the other person then.
They become one. Completely one.
No, but one person's still alive.
No, because they're both dead.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
When they're both dead, they become one.
Okay.
So it's ultimate unity.
Okay.
So that ultimate unity at death is represented by their bodies in the physical world, in their burial. When they were alive, they were always cuddling Avraham and Sarah. You never saw them cuddling in Chumash. When they died, what they did, they just cuddled each other. How are they together? Right? Because that's what happens to the soul after death. And the purpose of Kiddushin, that's what we learn it from death, is that the purpose of Kedushin is a unification of these two souls.
Kedushin is marriage?
Kedushin is marriage. Yeah. Kedushin means holiness, literally. Marriage in Judaism means holiness. The holiest level, the highest level, is marriage. When you understand why. But that's a proper marriage. If you marry something that's not your soulmate, you're disconnecting from your life. That's it. It might be geschmack, it might be enjoyable, especially if there's physical contact, but it's not the same soulmate that you have, that's ordained for you.
So how does one know when they've found that soulmate? It's a $1 million question.
Not so easy to answer. But one thing I can tell you, she has to be Jewish.
Because there's something...
There's a,